The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
A large couch, two armchairs, a bicycle and office chairs, just some of the items that were dumped into the tributary of the River Boyne in Meath last weekend. And it comes as the new Circular Economy Bill seeks to empower local authorities to use CCTV to detect and prevent illegal dumping and littering. Now, we're joined by Padraig Tobin, AIMTHU leader and TD for Meath West. Padraig, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
I reckon you're not surprised at the kind of stuff that's been found in this tributary.
No, it's absolutely heartbreaking, and it's a story that's repeating itself day in, day out, right across the country, especially in beauty spots, especially in rural areas. It's estimated that there's about 64,000 tonnes of rubbish dumped in the countryside on an annual basis in the state, and that works out at 20-tonne trucks of rubbish fly-tipped every single week in this state.
Now, the extraordinary thing is that if it was disposed of properly, there's a lot of recycling in those things. There's timber in the couches, there's fabrics in the couches, there's metal that could be recovered. But now we have a situation where that only happens after the councils have spent a fortune taking it out of the rivers and ditches.
Absolutely. So there was a study done last year. Local authorities were contacted to see how much they were spending on this problem. And they were spending between 90 and 100 million euros a year in either preventing it, enforcement, or cleanup afterwards. And much of the cleanup, obviously, is very difficult because, you know, it's, some of this material does have a very negative consequence on rivers, on pollution, on wildlife, etc. And, you know, I'm thinking of a bog in Meath, Emily Bog, where 250 tyres were taken out just a month after 100 tyres were taken out. And, you know, these are scenic areas where people use for recreational purposes, you know, to get out into the fresh air, to see a little bit of wildlife. And they're being destroyed by people who are either too arrogant to look after their own waste or too lazy to look after their own waste. And I'd say in some cases, too, people who probably have difficulty with the costs involved as well.
But, I mean, 250 tyres. Mm. That's not you've had to change a tyre because you got a puncture. That is a supplier, someone who's selling tyres and taking the tyres in off vehicles that have decided to discard the old tyres. So these are professionals.
Some of these are commercial, and you know, there has been reports of people who you know, advertise to say that they get rid of waste, and they let on that they do it in a safe and decent manner, but they actually do the cheap end of it, and they actually just dump it in a bog or in a field.
Now, I presume those people who sell tyres have got to have a license for disposal, and therefore they should have receipts for the disposal of the tyres that they take in. I mean, you know, surely there's somebody who's got the authority to go and demand sight of those licenses, sight of those receipts.
Yeah, well, the first in the current law, the first responsibility lies with the producer of the material. And then the law also holds in responsible the people in whose possession the waste is. But the truth of the matter is, it's just very, very difficult to do.
So the people who manufacture the tyres have a responsibility to make sure that they are disposed of responsibly.
The people, they have the responsibility to prove that they have ensured that they have delivered it to the next person on the chain in a responsible fashion, that they have done the right thing by it. So in some ways, what the local authority often check is to find out who's not actually paying for waste disposal. So if it's a domestic person, if they don't have any waste disposal coming to their house, or if it's a business, you know, how exactly are they disposing? So there is a responsibility on businesses to make sure that their materials are disposed of properly.
Now, what do councils need to do? I mean, I'm not sure how automated some of this thing might be. For example, do they have the right to look at all the refuse disposal people that they have, you know, the pandas of the world and so on, to check the addresses? So therefore, if you've got three suppliers in the county, you check their address log and then you look at, you compare it to the database of all the addresses in the county, and you find, oh, that fella Palato Bean, he hasn't got an account with anyone. So we knock on your door, Pather, tell me, Where do you get rid of your rubbish to? Oh, I'm sure I don't eat anything and I don't buy a newspaper and I'm sure I burn it in the grate.
See, this, like, I actually don't think that the councils have the ability to do it in that kind of structured fashion. I think what they're doing is they're chasing down materials that they find. And the problem is that it's a cat and mouse issue, and that's the truth of it. So no matter how many CCTV cameras that they put up, especially in rural areas, a person just has to go down, you know, a couple of hundred yards down the road, put it in that gate, etc. And therefore the rubbish is, you can't trace that particular individual.
I mean, you might see a truck that it appears to be going down one road laden with stuff and coming back the same road empty. That might be caught on CCTV, but that's not proof positive.
This is it. For a conviction to be had, you have to catch a person in the action of doing something wrong. And for me, there's a couple of things that needs to happen. I do believe that this particular bill, the circular economy bill, does go down the route of can we get rid of single-use plastics, for example. So they are a big curse in all of this element. And it does not make sense at the moment that we're just, you know, producing so much single-use plastics that are so hard to deal with, either through the lack of recycling or through this type of rubbish. The other element that I would say is that local authorities used to provide skips in housing estates, twice a year. So that, like, it is a reasonable problem that people have when they have mattresses or old couches that they can't get rid of. They mightn't have the transportation facilities to get rid of it. So I do think that local authorities should be making it easier for people to actually do the right thing in the disposal. And, you know, I do think that there is a problem with the cost of some recycling centres too, because they started off, you know, fairly generous and reasonable, that it was, you know, at €2, for example, to go in and get rid of all your waste there. But now there's a €5 cost for this, there's a €10 cost for that. And you could actually spend £20 in a recycle centre getting rid of your stuff. And for many people in a cost of living crisis, that is a difficult cost to take on board. And I would counter that actually the cost of cleaning it up is actually more
than the money that you would forsake in having lower charges.
Exactly. And, you know, there is an argument that when the local authorities stopped providing waste disposal for people, in other words, stopped collecting for people, it created this space. And as long as there's a charge, as long as there's a difficulty for people to dispose of their waste, you'll always have some people. And it's estimated about 80,000 people across the state are involved in some level of fly tipping. So we may need to countenance going back to the situation where local authorities, funded through either local governments or national governments, start to collect waste off people.
Now, we saw that many people on a certain side of the house were against the property charges, but the property charges were a replacement, if you like, for the local rates, which used to be the reason that you got your rubbish collected by the council or the Dublin Corporation. In my case, when we were growing up, the corporation truck came along and took your rubbish. They still do that in places like in Britain. Some of the councils do it. In France, certainly they do it. And it sorts out that problem. There's no excuse for anyone to dump waste where it should not go.
Well, in France, every municipal authority has a number of different locations just where people can drive up and get rid of their waste in a proper fashion. And, you know, we have this kind of ludicrous situation where there's about four different companies at the moment. And you know, one truck comes down one night and another truck comes down another night. And, you know, there's four trucks coming down the one laneway to deal with four different houses. And there's obviously an efficiency problem with that, too. It might be better for the council to actually contract a company to deliver the service directly to them in a given area. And there can be tenders provided to make sure that there's efficiencies there as well.
The law of unintended consequences often kicks in where, for example, they removed waste receptacles from public parks because people were bringing their domestic waste and sticking it in these waste facilities. So rather than actually sort out the problem, they create a bigger one that people just leave their garbage on the grass, and then someone else has got to pick it up.
And if anybody goes to, you know, a place where you bring bottles, a bottle bank at the moment, it's usually completely hammered with bottles and a lot of other materials as well. Unfortunately, if we go down the routes that we're going down, we will be playing a cat and mouse a game for another generation with hundreds of millions of euros spent on enforcement and cleaning up, lots of damage done to local amenities, and still this will continue. So I do believe that we need to have the state to come in and make it easy for people to be able to get rid of their waste in a low-cost fashion.
All right, Pather, thank you very much for that. I might ask you about your view on the maternity hospital before you leave, because it's still an ongoing saga, as you know, the Health Committee wanting another delay.
I think the main story for this, for me, is that this new hospital was announced in 2008. Indeed, James Riley announced it again in 2013. Right now, we have women giving birth to babies in really crowded, overcrowded, chronically overcrowded conditions in Holles Street. Many of those women who have major difficulties with health have to cross town in an ambulance in heavy traffic to get to an acute hospital for treatment. I think that any delay in the delivery of the National Maternity Hospital at the location in St. Vincent's would be absolutely wrong. And I actually think we're getting into a culture war rabbit hole in this area now, that many people are asking reasonable questions but not actually providing evidence to say that the governance of this new hospital will be at odds with the law of the state.
Yeah.
I can't find.
I mean, the golden share, which is there again. I heard Shane Coleman arguing this morning, because there's a theory. You know, we had Trump, therefore we can have an extreme right wing minister for health, an extreme right wing government in time, and that they might do certain things. And I think Shane was suggesting, well, that's democracy. You know, that they, if you end up with a right wing government, it was voted there by the people. So if they kind of reverse our version of Roe versus Wade, the Eighth Amendment, and so on, that would be their right to do it.
A government will reflect the outlook of the people at a given period of time. And if they don't, they'll be pegged out at the next election. And that's how the system works. Mm. But my real worry here is that this particular deal could fall through. We could have a government going back to the drawing board, going back to, you know, early stages of trying to get land for this. And it could be 15 years' time. We could have people still in the National Maternity Hospital in overcrowded
Two
positions.
Things, though. The rate of women coming to the National Maternity Hospital is now down 25% from its height. So fewer people are going there, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, when you think about it and the catchment, even with the new St. Vincent's, you're talking about areas where the only thing they're building are flats for single people, it looks like. We're not going to have an awful lot of births in Dublin 2, Dublin 4. The kids are being born out in the outskirts, around the M50 and the burgeoning suburbs there where the young parents live. Why in God's name are we building a maternity hospital in Dublin 4 when we've got Talla Hospital and Blanchardstown Hospital, which may eventually accommodate the Rotunda, but we've got those hospitals in places where kids are being born? I am baffled by this.
It is bananas that it's going into Vincent's in the first place. It's bananas that the Children's Hospital is going into St. James's in the first place. These should be put in Connolly or along the M50, where people have access throughout the country to these. But unfortunately, we have inherited an organically grown health system that has a lot of voluntary elements to it, that has a large diversity of different components. And right now, we are on the precipice of being able to build a hospital that will actually save women's lives. If we actually go back to the drawing board and start again, it's going to be 15 years away before we actually are able to do that.
I would slightly demur. If in Talla they have the space, it's a greenfield space. You don't have all the problems that you have with building in Dublin 4 along the Merrion Road, which is congested, the N11, which is congested, a narrow road running up along RTE in Nutley. Not the best place to try and build, and not the best place to try and get with your pregnant spouse or partner about to, you know, give birth.
If we could get a timeline for the hospital to be built in Talla, I think it should be looked at. But the problem is, any timeline that is given to the government, you can multiply it by three to see the real-time delivery on it. And that's the truth of it. Like, if anybody told us in 2013 that we would be still considering this element in relation to the move.
And by the way, isn't there a value for money study, the results of which we await?
Listen, and that's another key element, because when this was launched first, the government said it's going to cost 150 million euros to do it. The latest estimate is 800 million euros to deliver this. And, you know, that was before the current peak in the inflation rate. And the funny thing is, Pat, like, all of these issues that we've just mentioned, they're the issues that should be consuming the political class in the country, but they're not consuming the political... Like, there's hundreds of hours being consumed by... Is there some shadow? Is there some ghost? Is there some possibility down the road that somebody may have influence over the nature of operations there, and nobody's put up an ounce of evidence. And it's taking the mental capacity of Leinster House now on that issue rather than the bread and butter issues of making sure that women are safe and that this is done in a manner that doesn't cost an arm and a leg.
I don't know whether you caught that notion that there is the fact, actually, that there will be a dermatology unit within the hospital because they have to knock the dermatology unit down to build a maternity hospital. And so in some little quiet corner of a maternity hospital, you're going to have dermatology.
And there's a lot of other aspects that haven't been dealt with. Like, there's a whole lot of private elements to the to NMH that are operating from that site in Holles Street at the moment. Are they to be brought to the site in St. Vincent's? Is it going to be at the cost of the state in the same way that private elements are being brought to the children's hospital? None of that's been debated by a political class which is distracted by this other issue.
Padraig Tobin, leader of AIMTU and TD for Meath West, thank you very much for...
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.